white. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. February 18, 1895. Dear son Willie, I cannot sleep this morning past 1:15, and I prepare to close up my American mail. You must know we feel deeply anxious to learn something of your meeting and something of you as well. May tells me she has written you, and I shall not write much. I am glad to report that I am doing well health-wise, for which I am very grateful. May and I rode to Petersham last Sabbath. I spoke to the Sydney Church with much freedom. Many of the young converts from Ashfield were present. The new place of meeting was crowded to its utmost limits, and I am pleased to say that there is a perceptible change in the current of the atmosphere circulating through the church. Brethren Hardy and Humphrey seem like newborn souls. This amazes the church, and this wonderful miracle of the power of God, for it is nothing less in their eyes and in our eyes, has done for them that which nothing else could have done. There seems to be such a marked change. Their very countenances express the work that has been wrought. It is no human touch that has done this. Brother Hare was present, also Brother McCulloch. I never have seen Brother Hare as spiritual as now. The power of God seems to be with him. His words have power. After I had spoken to those assembled, we had a testimony meeting, and those who had newly come to the faith in Ashfield, all, I think, bore good testimonies. Brother Richardson was at the meeting, and he is growing in experience. He spoke well. I spoke upon Luke 14, the first 14 verses of the chapter. They desired me to speak upon the invitation to the supper, but I left that for another occasion. I wanted that all should have an opportunity to witness for Christ. The testimony of Brother Richardson was that he should never forget the words spoken by Sister White. They set matters before him of eternal interest, which made him feel that he was responsible to God for the use of light God had given him. Brother Hare spoke well of the danger with him of not preserving humility before God. I had made earnest application of Christ's words and of his instruction in Luke 14, verse 7 to 11. Christ marked how some took the highest rooms at the feast. It was a most excellent meeting. The presence of the Holy Spirit was in our midst. Brethren Hardy and Humphrey both bore excellent testimonies. Meeting closed about 5:00. We reached our home a little after dark. We had Jesse. Our family became worried about us and had just started to come to meet us, fearing, having Jesse, that something had happened to us. 16 have been baptized, and 12 more have presented their names to be baptized. I have an appointment out for Ashfield next Sabbath, and the request has been made for me to speak in the tent next Sunday night. If I feel as well as I do now, I shall attempt it. Byron thinks it would be necessary, for Canwright's books may be circulated as soon as the Sabbath question is introduced, and they say after they have heard me, it kills the influence of the book. If it is thus, I shall speak a few times evenings and stay overnight at Brother McCulloch's. Circa February 18, 1895. Private. I am convinced that it is best, if there is an interest in Auckland, to have Brother Corliss remain there. I am of the opinion that Brethren Hare and McCulloch will carry on the work, and the Lord will work with them in the locality of Sydney. A change would be beneficial to Brother Corliss. His boy is doing excellently well, and I cannot see how you can get along very well unless Brother Corliss does remain in New Zealand. Brother Hare remains for a time in New South Wales. He seems to interest the people, and all are pleased to hear him. He has no ordinary talent. Under the influence of the Spirit of God, he can be a man of great influence. If Brother Corliss should be inclined to remain in New Zealand, I believe he had better stay there. I was a little surprised at some things. Brother McCulloch visited me last week, and he said that he wanted to bring some things before me. Brother Rousseau has come down to Sydney to attend to business in the interest of the school, and he told Brother McCulloch that Elder Daniels wished him to take a supervision in your absence of the work going on in the meetings being held in Petersham and Ashfield. And then he began inquiring what they were doing with the money they received in contributions. This did not strike these brethren as at all necessary for Brother Rousseau to have any supervision whatsoever over the work these brethren were doing. They thought it all that he could possibly do would be to give all his time and attention to the school lands. For him to investigate these brethren does not make a favorable impression on their minds. More than this, he urged the matter of Dr. Kellogg giving his talks on temperance and health subjects to the congregation Sunday nights. This they could not consent to, for they say he will kill the interest, which is now excellent. I told them they need not be troubled. Brother Rousseau had no work to do in connection with their work in setting the truth before the people. I am more than surprised that Elder Daniels should suggest the things he did. It is this kind of work that, if he continues it, will hinder advancement. He must show that he has confidence in his brethren and supposes that they understand their work and will do the same in the fear of God. Brother McCullough makes no rash moves. He counsels with me in anything where he does not really know what to do. Last Wednesday, Brother Rousseau was taken quite sick with pain in his bowels, and he left the train in Granville in the afternoon and went to Brother Belden's to take a bath. He was treated by Byron quite thoroughly. Then he came to our house, apparently a subject of fever. We cleared out the parlor and took the sewing work into the dining room. He seemed to be quite a sick man. Dr. Kellogg gave him baths, but his temperature was high. Friday, he was better and went to Sydney to do some business in reference to the school. He was not in any condition to be off the bed. He came back very weak. He supposed he could accompany us on Sabbath to Ashfield or Petersham, but he was not able to do this. He rested through the day, and Sunday morning he felt that he must go to Dora Creek, and he went. The surveyors, he said, would leave, and then it would be an expense to get them back again. So I had to consent to his going. I am sure he was much better, but I was so glad he was not taken sick at Dora Creek. I can see the Lord has provided us this place to make a home for his people. Sister Rousseau is still with us. She is a very frail creature. A girl that has been canvassing has gone up with him to do their cooking. We have not heard from him since he left us. Dr. Kellogg goes up today. He seems anxious to go to work on the school grounds, and it is well for him to do this, I think. I was surprised to have him tell me that yourself and he were depending on Fanny to help get out a pamphlet in reference to this school business. You know well that I have all and much more than Fanny can do, and had just set her to work to get out pamphlets that are being called for. I propose that the conference in Australia hunt up and provide themselves with someone to engage in this work, if there is any talent to be secured. When camp meetings are held, just when Fanny could be of the greatest service to me, she is furnished with abundance of bothering work, taken entirely from me. And then, after the camp meeting, it is weeks before she recovers from the strain and taxation. I told Brother Rousseau what I thought of such plans. If he was not able, nor Elder Daniels, or any one of them, I thought it was a pretty lame kind of thing. And my influence should be exercised to have the conference hunt up their own workers without taking the only one I have from me, aside from Marion. Emily is gone. This is seriously felt when so many letters go in the mail to America, South Africa, and everywhere.
But be it understood, this drawing upon Fanny must not be. I shall not consent to it. I told Rousseau that it could not be. He says now it is the only thing that can be done. They must have the book out as soon as possible. So Fanny leaves for Dora Creek this week, with my reluctant consent. When will you be expected back? If you can tell us anything definite, do so. May is well, and her sewing moves along slowly. Sister Rousseau is not able to do much. She is ambitious to do all she can, but she is quite frail. I will send you copies of letters written. I try not to be troubled about many things, but to take things as easy as possible. I shall not go to Tasmania in a little inconvenient boat. I would prefer going by Melbourne, but this is expensive. Dr. Kellogg says he will look into the matter this week. Much love to all friends, and especially yourself. Mother. I was asking Marion in regard to the Sermon on the Mount. She says she cannot have it printed until the chapter you have to read is read and sent to her or the Echo office. I do not know which. But I wish you would read this chapter and send it. Return it at once. I cannot feel at rest that this book should be delayed for the want of this chapter in your hands. Marion says she will not have the book published until you read this chapter. Will you please attend to this without delay? Brother Caldwell is devoting much time now to copying upon the typewriter. He has engaged Willie McCann to help him in doing outside work. He commences today.